Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose.
All right, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Mike Pete across the way, Bogus. Your updates to nine we go. Good stuff wrapping up last hour with Adam Fisher. Covers Major League Baseball for SNY, one of their baseball analysts, former executive with the Mets and the Braves there, giving you a feel about the World Series. And, you know, he doesn't think it's getting out of Washington. You know, we kind of chatted about that earlier on, Taz. He also said, you know, if you're the Mets, you know, go for an experienced guy.
I'm concerned. I mean, I got to be honest. Like, I mean, I'm dialed into the World Series, Nats, Astros. I got it. Everything that, you know, we watch, we talk about. I'm a Mets fan, and I'm concerned. And during the break, you and I were chatting for a second. I'm like, listen, you know, I think it's going to be Perez. And you're like, well, you got to have an experienced guy. And that's why you and I both agree it should be Joe Girard. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think it's going to be.
No, I don't get a sense it is either. I think that's a mistake.
I know.
I agree with you. I think that was a mistake. I would hire Joe Girardi. I'd limit the risk. How about saying Eduardo Perez would be a terrible hire, or Carlos Beltran, or Tim Bogartaz would be a terrible hire? But the risks, you don't know.
Well, it's one thing that. What are you hearing? What are you hearing? You know, people in the Mets organization.
I'm hearing that it's not going to be Joe Girardi.
When I saw David Ross got the Cubs gig, I think this is good. But then I'm hearing Girardi with the Phillies.
Yeah. The latest, and it's out there, is, you know, nothing, I'm not breaking any news, but that, you know, Girardi's the heavy favorite down in Philadelphia.
Right.
The owner wants Girardi in Philly. Maybe some of the management wanted Buck Showalter. But the owner down there in Philadelphia wants Joe Girardi, but hasn't taken the job. The Mets are intrigued by Girardi, but it seems like they're going to go more of a kind of a non-safe route. You know,
Beltran. Like,
right.
Why,
he's
why
not.
Call
he's, he's the favorite with the Phillies. Joe Girardi is not the favorite with the Mets. Not saying he can't get the job. He's just not the favorite to get the job.
What kind of money? You get Beltran. What kind of money are you going to pay this guy? This guy's made tons of millions as a Met. And now, as managers, they don't make a lot. But the first year managers, they don't make a lot of money.
No. Well, that's the other thing.
How much are you going to pay him?
I'd say Callaway in year two was making $800,000.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I think, know, the high water mark for Terry Collins was a tad over $1 million, maybe $1.2 million. I mean, I think they'd probably pay Beltran right around $1.5 million. Maybe one.
It's like, how much was he making at the peak? I mean, he was making...
Oh, Beltran doesn't have to worry about it. He's got boatloads of money.
Right, my point.
I mean, how much has he made for his career? I mean, he signed... what was that contract he signed with the Mets? Was it $140 million?
Yeah, it was insane. Now, back then, it was a huge, huge money.
Yeah, huge deal that he signed with the Mets.
So is he going to want more for a guy with no skin in the game as a manager? Like, right or wrong? You know,
well, he wants to manage.
No, I know. I'm saying, like, he hasn't earned the right to make a ton of money as an MLB manager.
Correct.
But he's used to making tons of money. And now, as he can, they say, listen, we're going to pay you 900 G's. He's going to be like, yo, I'm out. I'm not doing this. Which, fine. I would say, see ya. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't pay him 900.
I don't get a sense. And I'm sorry, Mike, you were going to say, what was the manager?
7 years, 119 was the big contract.
119.
He
so, yeah, and he made a lot of money after that as well, because the salaries did go up after that. He's made it perfectly. I think Beltran knows when he says he wants to manage a team and he only wants to manage the Mets, he knows he's not making $3, $4 million a year.
Okay. I feel that.
Do you know what I'm saying? Listen, I think he knows. Right. He's smart enough. He's, you know, working as assistant for Brian Cashman right now. Beltran knows he's not making a boatload of money.
Okay. I got that.
You know what I mean? I don't think he'd get involved thinking that all of a sudden they offer him the job and they're like, hey, we're going to pay you $1 million. He's like, I'm out. Peace.
Right. Listen. Right. Correct. I'm gonna tell you, as a Met fan, and I'd love to get Mike's take and Pete's take. They're Met fans also, but I don't look as Beltran as he's not a hated Met, but he's not like some. He's not Mike Piazza. He's not loved. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a. In my opinion, I don't know what you guys think. I don't look at him as a loved. Not that you got to love the manager for your team, but I just don't want to see Met fans revolting because they're bringing this guy in as the manager when he was not exactly. I didn't even look at him as. Oh, my God, I love Beltran. When he came over, it was a big deal. But I don't feel like he was, you know, as a Mets fan, like I wasn't in love with him.
I don't disagree. Pete, what do you think,
you guys?
Well, I think it's unfortunate the way most Mets fans will remember him for the series against the Cardinals, looking at the curveball from Wainwright. But as a Met, he was a fantastic Met. I mean, he's MVP candidate every year. He was fantastic.
But you love him as a Met?
I don't think I look at him as an all-time Met, right, but honestly, I just want to win games. So if he goes in there and wins, I don't really care.
I understand. Okay. That wasn't really the take I was hoping for. Pete, please.
I think people undervalued Carlos Beltran on the Mets. Beltran was perhaps their best center field of all time.
I think he was.
And I think that he got a bad rap here, and he shouldn't have. That last pitch he took in 2006 is what he's known for, and it shouldn't be.
Oh, I agree with that.
Is he loved?
Taz, I'll answer the question.
Is he loved? No.
No, he's not.
See, why is he not? That's so we all agree then, and you as a Yankee fan, why? I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, like, he's not loved. And we all established he was a tremendous player for the Mets.
Because he was not as great as the 7 home run outburst he had with the Strohs before he became
before
a Met.
Before he became a Met, right. Okay.
He did not carry the team and take the team on his back. I think people looked at him as maybe being the Robinson Cano-esque, where the game came a little bit too easy for him. Mm. You know, people would criticize the depth he'd play center field in. You know, a non-emotional guy, Taz.
Well, that's
I think there were things that worked against Beltran in terms of the connectivity with the fan base.
You just took it out of the words out of my mouth. See, that's what I was just fixing to say, and you said it. I mean, that non-emotional, like, he's very. I don't know the man from a hole in the wall, but he comes off as very like no personality, like none whatsoever. I hope that's not how he is in the clubhouse. He could connect with the players. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry. From my understanding, I wouldn't worry about the connectivity with the players. And from my understanding as well is that when Beltran went to the St. Louis Cardinals, his personality as a player changed.
Really?
Correct.
I didn't know that. I didn't know. So, like, he was happy, jovial, and all that stuff. No?
Yeah, a little opposite? Bit easier to get along with.
Yeah.
After his journey to St. Louis.
I feel like Mike has something
I could
to
say it a little stronger from what I've been told, but it's just just a little bit easier to get along with.
You're saying a little stronger. What do you mean you could say a little stronger? Like, what do you mean? Like, he was a great guy? Is that what you're saying?
No, he was difficult as a younger player.
Oh yeah. He was more kind of a douchey. Yeah.
He was a difficult player.
Yeah.
Correct. And I think from what I've been told is that when he went and became a Cardinal, that kind of he kind of changed as he got older.
As you mature, you change. I know, I've done that. I mean, I was hated in locker rooms. I really was. I'm hated here. Mike, what's up? You have something to say?
I was just going to say, I respect more than anybody is Brian Cashman. And if Cashman endorses Beltran and liked Beltran to bring him in as a special advisor, to me, that has more merit than anything he did with the Mets. Because Cashman, what he's done with managerial moves and Boone and Girardi, they've been good managers. They've won games. So if he likes Beltran, to me, that's a big endorsement.
Oh, so this is like, I don't know if I agree with that. So this is like the Sean McVay thing. If anybody shared a piece of toast with Sean McVay to get an NFL opportunity as a head coach.
Well, right? I respect Cashman a lot. I think he knows what he's doing. I mean, so if he likes Beltran, to me, that makes me feel better about
that. That's enough for you as a Met fan that he would be. Then keep him in the Bronx. Keep him as an advisor. How about that? And get us Girardi.
Cashman's glowing about Girardi as well, so you can make that argument about Joe. He said any organization would do right by their franchise to hire Girardi.
Well, he had him for a long time there, and you know, I think he's taking the high. I'm sure he's honest about that, but
oh no, he's being honest. He likes Girardi.
Yeah,
he feels bad the way it ended with Girardi.
Who and how won? Why? Who ended it with Girardi?
Oh, the Yankees did.
No, I know that, but I'm saying the Yankees have sold Cashman. Like what?
Yeah. I think it was an organizational decision.
Okay.
I mean, Cashman, I think, recommended to ownership that they move on from Girardi, and ownership agreed.
Okay,
so Cashman doesn't have the full autonomy to be able to say this guy, like, he's got to get that kind of decision.
No, I feel you. Of course, but that's my point. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying, like, so if Cashman is an advocate now of Girardi, well, why was he an advocate? Why was he helping to have him remove him as the skipper for the Yankees a few years ago?
Because he felt it was time. Because he felt like the messaging and
the players didn't connect him much.
He's a grinding personality. It can wear on you. It can wear on an organization. It can work on a team. He had an issue with dealing and communicating with some of the younger players. Yeah. So those were some of the things that Girardi struggled with as went along. But I mean, he was there 10 years.
Yeah, you say grinding personality. You know, my wife referenced me to that. Yeah, I look at you. You're more of a relaxed personality. My wife has referenced me as a grinding personality, which is tough in a marriage. But she has mentioned me in that regard.
Well, you guys have made it work, though. You've been married forever.
Had. But she said this to me actually about a week ago. Mm. But I mean, I feel you're a relaxed personality. You look at me. What's my? Do you look at me as a grinding personality? I won't get insulted. I'm just. You know me well enough. We work together.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way. I guess so. I don't know. I don't. How would I describe you?
You said grinding personality, and Pete started laughing. That's. I think he was looking at me, and I'm wondering, am I a grinding personality?
Well, I think there's different levels of it.
Here we go. What does that mean? I'm afraid to ask.
No, you know what that means.
No, I thought you were about to bury me.
I'm not gonna. No, I just said there's different levels of a grinding personality.
I don't want to be a grinding personality.
No, I got you. I'm not. I think there's certain. No, we're not going down this road.
All right.
I think you got a wonderful personality.
I know. That was funny. I legitimately asked you, what's my personality?
I let me think about it. We'll tease
You're
it.
You're a pretty quick thinker. I mean, you don't need to think of anything.
I'm trying to think of the right task. I had trouble coming up with pegs dealing with Plinko. All right? So give me a second to think about what the right word. Because it's one of those things where pick your word wisely, my friend.
Again, it's so good. Well, my wife said you're a grinding personality.
When I think of you as a grinding personality, I think...
Maybe not grinding.
No.
Stress, you were going to say. Stressful person?
No, you're not. No. Well, that's just like, that's kind of, you know, well, you've talked about your paranoia a little bit. From your wrestling days.
Oh, yeah. That's
kind of rubbed off.
It's called wrestling personality.
Everyone's a little paranoid.
JR said too. Remember JR was on?
Yes.
You mentioned
it. Right. Yeah. Well, JR's line, I forget what was his line. Wrestlers, joked around. He had a great line to Eric.
He did.
He basically took the shovel of dirt on all wrestlers.
And I've heard him say it a million times. So to me, to you, it was a big deal. To me, I've heard him say it.
No, I know. But well, I'm not friends with him. So no, you are. So I haven't heard it.
I've heard him say it a million. I can't remember the line either, but you're right.
I only had him on a couple times. And he's either promoting his podcast or his book.
Yeah. That's, well, JR's not coming on just to be your buddy.
You know? I understand. There's something to push.
Yeah.
There's something to push, which God bless. I mean, honestly. That's
well, if you
fine.
Want to talk about the Sooners, they'll talk all day about that.
Oh, I understand.
Barbecue sauce. Barbecue sauce.
Are you a grinding? I would say there's a level of grind to your personality.
Wow. You should have been a lawyer. That's well said. It's really done. Well done. The way you did that. There's a level of grind.
Yes, I think there is.
All right.
Don't you think? I mean, you did go through 30 producers on your podcast.
But that wasn't my fault. It was all of their fault.
The company was downsized.
It was all of their fault.
Right, the company, right. It just happened to be that day when that producer walked out was the day that the company had cutbacks.
I told you, many of them disappeared. Like, no one could find a lot of them. And I have nothing to do with it. I mean, there's some of them that just left the
state of New
York.
It's amazing that the ones that hang around, like Rosenhaus.
Yeah, he's a glutton for punishment.
We reference, I mean, he's not even a part of the show. We reference him basically three or four times a week.
At least.
He's the only producer. Even Seth left me. Seth?
Yeah, Seth's a good man. Seth's a good man.
He left me. They don't talk to me. None of these guys. Robbie's my only guy left.
Oh, Seth will talk. Seth loves you. You and him are like frickin' frack.
We were. I don't know. I blow relationships up. You'll see. I don't end them well.
I look forward that's something to look forward to down the road, I guess. What is that supposed to mean?
I'm just saying, everybody here who works at me, you guys will see. Oh. I'm not threatening, it's just the way I am. It's unfortunate. I blow bridges up.
This is not a lifelong bond.
It's sad, but the only one I have that was my wife. And my son, but otherwise, no one else.
I got you.
I mean, I got Pete Gass hitting me with text right now. I don't know what he's saying. It's on my glasses. I'm
sure
text
he's burying
me. Did he reach out to you?
No. I need to ask him. He told me about this. I keep on forgetting this deli. He told me about this breakfast sandwich at
Ridge
this deli.
Jones over there by you? What's that called? Ridge Fancy
Rye Jones? Ridge.
Yeah.
Rye Ridge Deli. No, it's
a little
not
overrated,
that.
That deli, by the way.
I agree with you. A little heavy, very very expensive for what it is. I agree. I don't love it. There's another Italian deli down the street that's very, very good. No, this is not Rye Ridge Deli. This is kind of like a small deli that makes a specific breakfast sandwich that he recommended that I should try that I keep on forgetting.
Pete Gass?
Yes.
I picture Pete Gass.
I think it's got chili on it.
Oh, I could picture him like that. I can picture him.
And
like,
he said it's fantastic on like a Sunday morning to set you straight.
I could picture him saying that. I can't for the life of me understand why anybody would put chili on an egg sandwich.
I think it's chili. Now, he might be texting you and being like, Melusis is wrong. It's not chili. It's something else. I could have swore it was chili.
Well, he buried you a little bit in this last text.
Oh, that's nice. Let me hear that one.
No,
I want to hear it. No, if he's, I want to know if someone's burying me behind my back, I'd like to hear it.
You're paranoid.
I'm paranoid. You're like, he just buried you via text. Let me hear it. No. I'm not reading
I'll
that
read
on
the
there.
Text. Moose is a very nice man. That's what he said.
Yes.
Wait, what's this question? What's on the what's there on was the
a
egg
he recommended what's a breakfast sandwich.
Egg. How you spell egg?
EGG sandwich.
Sandwich. He's on a delay, right? When they hear us, people hear us. They're on a little.
Yes.
Yes.
How long?
30 seconds.
Oh my God!
How he's listening.
I could be home in 30 seconds. Yeah, well, not yet. Yeah, soon. That's it. Oh, he just replied. What?
Oh
huh?
My God!
Because he's done a delay.
Oh, here we go. All right. We're gonna get this word in. No, he told. I keep on forgetting. He's like, "Do you ever try?" Last time I talked to him, I was sitting waiting to get my son at school. It's like, "You get that egg sandwich?" I go, "No, not yet." I go, "Where is he?" Oh, so you got to ask for it. He mentioned the guy's name. Huge sports fan. Tell him I sent you. He'll set you straight.
Oh, I hate when guys say that.
It's great.
I set you straight line. I hate that line. Yeah. Do you like that line when people say that?
No. It doesn't. I get what you're saying. It doesn't bother me as much as you, but I understand. But he was like, but I feel weird walking into a deli. He's like, ask for the bald head guy, and like
the bald head guy,
and then be like, hey, Pete Gass sent me, and then be like, who? The guy, no, it wouldn't be who. He'd be like, what's your, and then it's just like sets an uncomfortable tone. I'll have the
Pete Gass special.
Egg special?
He's replying now. Here it is, bro. Here it is. Bacon, egg, cheese, and chili. He just replied.
Oh, there you go.
Wow, that's really healthy, Pete. Yes, that is.
I got to text him. I need the name of the joint. Bacon, egg, and cheese, and chili.
Turkey chili.
Little ketchup. Would you do, he said it's an unreal sandwich. He said, to your point, he's texting me because it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I got to try it.
Have you ever done chili
I've never
on
done
egg
chili
sandwich?
On eggs.
You guys?
Never done chili.
No. I can't do
oh,
that.
No, man.
I can't do it.
I've never done it. But he talked about this sandwich like it was going to heaven.
Dude, he's texting me nonstop.
No, like he said, like, this sandwich is amazing. Like, you have to go and you have to get this sandwich.
Dude, if someone says at that level, you have to. You almost have to. And
well,
you have
right.
to bring
you
one in
here. You just
got
to try it. It's yeah. not, you just got to be like, when someone's talking that well about a sandwich, you just got to try it at some point.
He said it's, can we say the name? It's Corbo's Corner Deli.
Okay.
Corbo? Is that, you know where it is?
I don't know. I got to look it up. Corbo,
C-O-R-B-O. C-O-R-B-O, yes.
A Corbo's Corner Deli.
Sounds like a bodega.
Yeah, it's
bodegas
not.
Bodegas don't have good
eggs. It's not the Rye Ridge Deli. All
right. Right.
Where you're walking in and they have fresh fancy pastrami.
I know.
And eat
fancy
it up
place,
there.
That place.
That's exactly
yeah.
right. It's Taz of the Moose with you here on this Thursday morning. Come back, the bogus update, the three. We got plenty to get to as we roll right up until 9. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Hey, Andrew, I know you're here for the update.
Early today.
And I was, Moose and I were talking about this before. I during one of the breaks, I jumped in on there on WFAN. I was with Boomer Geo.
Congrats.
Did you just see, Moose, you're doing some paperwork, you didn't see it. I just mentioned WFAN, and Andrew's face, his eyes lit up. Oh, God.
That's the promised land. I was there a couple of times.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
Promise. Yeah. Milk and honey.
Yeah, I jumped in there. We were talking about Ray Mysterio. Those guys were wearing wrestling masks, which is stupid.
See, now you know.
Yes.
Now you know. I accept your apologies.
Listen, I've been on the fan a few times, not as much as Boots, nowhere near as much as him. Not as much as you either, Andrew. Well, actually, probably
more than
you.
Me, yes.
More than Andrew.
Yes.
You think so more than Andrew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just your handful
but
of wrestling
lights
full
up
shows.
Like a young child on Christmas morning.
Andrew, right?
With yeah.
Yeah, he loves
yeah.
it.
Boomer, Santa,
that
and Gio is an elf.
Moose was doing paperwork. You were looking down, Moose, and then I said WFAN, and Andrew's his head, his neck almost snapped.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Like, yeah, fan. Yeah, you know.
And I missed it.
Moose did like a special on there.
It's like he was in the service.
Do you ever ask Moose for his autographs? Because he's done a bunch of.
I haven't
done
the past.
His own show on the fan. He was doing shows. He's just a show every Sunday with Deal on the
I
fan.
I do, yeah.
You should take a picture with Moose.
I was a kid. I used to go to FANCon a lot with all the other listeners, and I got a Moose picture then.
I'm Andrew Bogish.
I also. There's a Moose cutout. There was a Moose cutout.
Yeah,
in the
what
studio,
happened? I've never seen the Moose
I took
cutout.
It home.
Is it gone now?
It might be.
It's in there. It's in Zach's studio.
I want to take that home, bring it home for my kids.
You should take it home. That'd be
That'll
awesome.
Last a day.
They would destroy that, too?
That would last a day.
Take those French fries and bang them.
Right. French fries. Markers. They're drawing on the walls.
Oh, my God. Don't they have, I think we talked about this, they have a lot of people, kids your age, they have the
chalkboard.
Paint. Yeah, that's some kind of a paint. Is there a paint that you could paint? My wife was telling me about this.
Well, there's chalk paint, and then you can make the wall a chalk wall.
Yeah,
yeah.
You should do that your whole house.
Yeah, my wife would love that.
She would love that.
You walk in the house, the whole house is black. Nice and refreshing to walk into. Just the whole house. It's just one big chalkboard.
It'd be like, hey, Moose, Donna, very warm home you have here.
Right, exactly right. Exactly
right.
It was
right. Rikers.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But they do have that. My sister has got that down in her basement. They've got like a chalk wall. I've seen people have that down in their basements.
The chalk wall.
Yes.
Mm-mm-mm.
My older sister Kim has got that. So yeah. I've seen, the other day I said, but you find the strangest things. Like, I was walking down my, we are in a ranch or whatever, down the hallway from the kitchen.
Right.
And there was, like, just basically a handprint of grape jelly on the wall. And I said, what are you guys, animals?
Yes.
You guys, you ever, can you use a napkin? Like, they just wipe their hands on the walls. And then I'm out there with the Lysol wipe trying to scrub it off. It's, it's a white wall. I'm like, what is going on here?
My kids refuse to sit.
What is going on?
They refuse to sit and eat. And they eat like animals. So there's just crumbs and shards of food rolling down their bodies onto my floor.
What are you people doing today with your kids?
I'm going to tie them to a chair soon. That's what's next.
That's not legal. You can get in trouble for that.
That's true.
Yeah, why? Loosely tie
ouch.
Them.
What do you mean? When your son wasn't a messy eater growing up? Was he eating? Like, there was no food that hit the floor?
I don't know why. My wife raised him like he was eating like he was a young kid from London. Like, mommy, this is delish.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Pinkies up.
Pinkies up. Sometimes he'd make a mess, but he was actually a really good kid. Now at 20, he's a handful.
Well, no.
But when he was little, he was great.
No, they're good kids. They're sloppy eaters. I tell them they're pigs all the time. They eat like the other day I walked in after doing the show in the house. There was two pieces of bacon right by the front door on the floor. I said, what is going on here? Like, what are you running out the door, take a bite of the bacon, just throw it down?
I mean, is there... look, I will. My son, only child, so we didn't have brothers. So it's different. I think with your guys, because they roughhouse because there's three of them. So it's a little bit different when you have one. My guy was a little more chill. He wasn't throwing bacon, but a lot of during those years, I was on the road. My wife was home alone with him. So I'm sure she could speak on it better than me because. When I got home, everything was all nice, but,
all
I was...
All nice and clean.
Yeah,
no, I get it. No,
you know what I mean?
Get
I was
it.
Gone
and
a lot.
Listen, there's a lot of times I don't see it, but, I mean, like, they just... You know what the worst is? Spaghetti.
Mm.
And they love spaghetti.
Yep.
Man, oh, man. And spaghetti your kids is... too, same way?
Well,
yeah, I mean, my son is 5, so he's still, like, little-ish. So, yeah, I mean, it's all over his face. It's up on his cheek.
Oh, you guys got to teach these kids some manners.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You guys got to tighten this up.
You just told me I can't tie him to the chair, so now I got nothing left.
Uncle Taz here, as my kids call you.
You got to be a little firm with them, that's all.
Well, what am I supposed to
verbally
do?
Verbally, say, stop it.
To like a 2-year-old. To my son, Gregory.
The 2-year-old's hot.
Yeah, what am I supposed to do? Don't grab the food with your hands.
Well, you got accountability, right? Say, no, now I'm going to take your favorite toy away or something like that.
My son's in the middle of a week-long Pokemon ban. Think that's working? Nope.
Really?
Nope.
These kids don't give a rat's ass today.
Nope.
Tough generation.
You see, I'm a little... it's not just that. I'm a little easier with the food because the other day, Paul's playing with his toys. Gregory grabs a hockey stick and whacks him in the head.
That's not good. That's a problem. Yeah, that's
so that I take the toy away, and I figure if he wants to eat his spaghetti with his hands,
Moose, that's punishment.
Right.
You can't.
That's, that's okay. A different matter.
No, but that's a different matter. If you want to, if you want to pig out, I'll put a bib on you. We'll call it a night.
But if he's hitting one of your kids with a hockey stick, did you punish him?
Yes, we did. We took stuff away. Yeah,
call you're not police. Saying that part. You're. Act- it sounds like, you're like, hey, stop that, and you moved on with your day.
No,
hey,
I didn't. Watch of
the
course.
Price is Right.
There were,
like,
no. Of course I did.
What do you think?
What do you think? Basically, I walk into the house and whoever survives the day survives.
Could you imagine?
Donna, we lost one today.
That damn hockey stick.
Right, the hockey stick. I was watching the eighth at Belmont and I had no idea Gregory was going to town on Paul.
That damn something. Hockey stick did it again.
I mean,
it's a good race, though.
Exactly right.
Oh, my God. I mean, that is funny.
No, of course we. No, of course.
What are they like when you go out to dinner? Like, oh, not fancy damn. Like, let's say you go to Corbo's Corner Deli. Like, what's that like? Like, you take them to the, like, you take them to McDonald's. What's, that's got to be like an adventure.
No fast food. All due respect. My wife, would, I can't take him. But say we go to a pizza place. Say like, you know, a pizza parlor, as they would say back in the day. Or just a pizza place. That
what's
pizza
wrong with Let's back up a little bit. Why? What? She doesn't want them to have fast food?
No.
Dude, my son used to eat McDonald's probably 2 times a week when he was young. Okay?
That's great. I loved McDonald's growing up.
Division I athlete with abs. You've seen this kid.
I'm not... Doesn't always have to come back.
No, I'm just saying, like it's not going to kill.
Well, but he also has abs because he was in the gym for forever, and
right,
he was dead, not because he ate McDonald's. They didn't give him the abs.
I want to just say this about McDonald's.
Yeah.
It gets a bad rap.
I'm not. I don't disagree. My wife would.
She just doesn't want the processed food.
No, she doesn't want the processed fare.
Everything in moderation.
All right.
Yeah, I mean,
respect that. No,
they've
I
had,
respect
no,
that.
They her,
are they soda kids?
No.
Yeah, my son was never. My wife didn't allow soda.
No soda.
Milk and water. Milk and water.
That's
the same. That's good. That's good.
And Jackson sometimes after a game can have a little bit of a Gatorade.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what you
that's
got.
It.
That's good.
But aside from that, no. Listen. I think when it comes down, you try and hold them all accountable to a certain extent, but it's difficult. I mean, it's hard when you're dealing with, you know, kids that age because they feel like they just like kids of all ages, they feel like they know everything too.
But what are they like on a plane? Are they like kicking the seat in front of them and the guy's like, "Hey, buddy, tell your kid to stop," like that type thing?
I warn people when we get on the plane.
Sir, I just want to let you know. I apologize ahead of time.
when we went down on vacation this summer, I think I was sitting across. I told an older woman, I go, "This is your worst nightmare." Move on in, boys.
Come on, guys, let's go.
she's like, "Oh, it'll be fine." I go, "You have no idea.
You have no idea. You're right.
You have no idea what's
2 hours.
Like. You have no." And they were actually decent on that flight. When we go out to like a food place, it really depends. I tell my wife we got a 40-minute window. You got 40 minutes to eat and get out. After 40 minutes,
it's hell.
Like, there's no sit down. Let's get the app. Mm. Let's have a nice bowl of soup.
No.
Let's whatever. Put the food on the table. Yeah. Get it down the belly. Get out the door.
Get in the car.
Get in the car and get home. Because then after 40 minutes, if they don't have crayons, if there's not something, they're on the floor. They're tackling one another. They're wrestling. It's an absolute nightmare. It's time to get out. You got a 40-minute window.
The key is nonstop sports. You need to get them involved in every sport possible.
I agree with you. I know.
Nonstop sports.
On Saturday, Jackson plays hockey at 8:30 in the morning. Then he plays flag football in the afternoon.
That's great. That's great. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep going. Play everything. Because just get them tired as much as possible.
That's exhausting.
Those kids sound like... They don't get tired, so.
Well, you know, your son.
My son was like, yeah, he was
yeah,
an
Yeah, I mean, your son was a Division I athlete. Yeah, he's Division I athlete, yeah, so I mean.
Great abs.
Yeah, he does.
No, but he.
They are great, huh?
When he was young, though. No, he's. You know what? Yeah, the thing is, though, like when he was young.
Never ending injuries.
Same thing, though. Like, you're like very active, you know, and they just don't get tired.
Don't get tired.
The energy level, testosterone's through the roof.
It's crazy.
You know, it's like, yeah, no, I know. I mean. But, you know, look, you can't have them throwing pizza around a pizzeria. You know, you got to keep control of that. I'm just giving you a little advice.
I agree with you. That's why I hold it to the 40-minute window. You can keep it composed for about 40 minutes. Try and pre-order the pie.
How's Donna with this? Like, is she patient?
You just laugh. You just laugh.
No, my wife's one.
It's tough. It's a tough
she's
job
got the,
that she has.
You know this. That's I mean, my wife's got the toughest job.
That's the toughest job. No, that is the
what
toughest
we
job.
Do. What you do?
It's easy.
It's easy.
Easy.
My wife's got the toughest job.
I agree.
She deserves all the credit in the world.
I agree.
Raising kids is very hard.
Very hard.
They'll test you every day.
And it's a thankless job.
Dude. It really is. You're right.
It's a thankless job.
You're right.
Once those kids get older, my wife and I, we're still waiting for a thank you. This kid's 20. Just maybe when he's 30, we'll get a thank you. Hey, thanks for being good parents. Yeah, thanks.
Well, you know, my wife will be brought to tears, and she's probably listening to Driving the Kids right now. You know what gets her upset? Thinking about, like, when they get older, the fact that boys disappear.
Yeah, that happens. Sorry,
I know.
Donna. It's true. I did.
I
you
know.
Did. I mean, it happened. My
you're
son's
right.
20, and that guy, we could see
and they
it.
Don't,
he's already looking to get a place in Manhattan.
Yeah, my wife, if we ever talk about it, my wife will be brought to tears. Like, she doesn't, you know, she gets very upset.
My wife used to be like that. Then over time,
I'll take him or leave him.
You get a little callous. Yeah. It's true. But at the age your guys are, it's you can't think of that, you know, because they're great. You know, even though they're nightmares in essence, but they're great. You know, they're little kids.
Oh, no doubt.
Tykes.
Yeah.
But with three moose, maybe, you know, odds are on your side that one of them will stay nice to you for his entire life.
That's true. You're right about that, right? Maybe.
But, Andrew, you have a boy and a girl.
Yes.
And how old's your daughter?
8.
So your son's so she's the older. Your
yes.
son's 5. Okay.
Yeah.
And they get along.
They get along like normal 8 and 5 year olds
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
I mean, they start into also fight and wrestle, and you're annoying. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And he's a jerk. I mean, he knows every button to push, and like he'll just walk over and like knock a book out of her lap and stuff
nice.
Like that.
He's like the old man.
Exactly.
I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Chip
off.
Yeah.
Agreed. Pot stirs.
Yeah. When I, are you calling any games this week?
No, not this week.
Oh.
Not this weekend.
Do you have an update for us?
I do, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's sponsored as well by Progressive Insurance.
Oh.
This year, Progressive celebrates 7 years and over 700 cars given to veterans, giving thanks by providing independence for those who protect it. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. National starter Steven Strasburg allowed a first inning 2-run homer to Alex Bregman, and then nothing else in Game 2 of the World Series in Houston.
The runners go, the pitch. Curveball, strike 3, called. On pitch number 114, Steven Strasburg locks up Tucker, the pinch hitter, on a breaking ball. He survives the sixth inning.
That's Dave Jagler on Nats Radio. Strasburg K'd 7 over those 6 innings. His offense made him a winner with a 6-run 7th off Justin Verlander, and the Astro bullpen catcher Kurt Suzuki started that rally with a solo blast to left. The Nats eventually won 12-3 for a 2-0 lead in the Fall Classic. That's 8 consecutive wins for Washington, and they host the next 3 games, if necessary, starting tomorrow night. Kristaps Porzingis, healthy and on a new team.
Vinnie Smith got it back to Brunson on the drive. We'll throw it out to Porzingis for the one-time sledgehammer that might just be the kill shot tonight.
Chuck Cooperstein, Mavs Radio. Porzingis, 23 points, 34 for Luka Doncic, as their Mavs started their season with a 108-100 home win over the Wizards. Kyrie Irving scored 50 in his Nets debut, but missed a jumper at the buzzer, so the T-Wolves won 127-126. In OT in Brooklyn, Jimmy Butler didn't make his Heat debut, a late scratch for family reasons. Miami outscored Memphis 120-101 without him. Whiteout Adam Thielen is out tonight with a hamstring injury. Probably won't matter as his Vikings host Washington on Thursday Night Football. And Patrick Mahomes took part in part of Chiefs practice yesterday, less than a week after dislocating his right kneecap. Andy Reid says they'll evaluate Mahomes as the week progresses. The Packers come to Arrowhead Sunday night. Their wideout, Davante Adams, may end up a game-time decision with his toe injury. And the Zozo Championship is the very first PGA Tour event in Japan. Tiger Woods began it with 3 consecutive bogeys, then birdied 9 of his final 15 holes for a 6-under 64. He shares a lead with Gary Woodland, one shot better than Hideki Matsuyama. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll come back. We'll touch upon the Breeze story, his possible return for the Saints. He got the undercard as well. It's Taz and the Moose here on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
You're
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
On a Thursday morning, you got the Thursday night game. I mean, it should be all Vikings. They're a healthy 16-point favorite against the Washington Redskins. And this weekend, we might get the return of Drew Brees, a Saints quarterback, coming off that thumb surgery and that ligament injury. Here is Brees getting asked that very question yesterday. Take a listen.
You going to play this week?
That's the plan. We'll see.
What will go into your decision? Is it your decision?
Just making sure I can beat me.
Is it strictly your call, or is it the whole organization? What will go into the whole final decision to see if you can play?
I think I'll tell Sean if I'm ready, and he'll believe me.
Oh, God.
Jeez, that's a little Eric.
That's a little rough.
I mean, come on, dude.
I'll tell Sean I'm ready, and he'll believe me.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
They, you know,
how's
the report,
that? I mean, really, yeah. That annoyed me. I like Brees, but that was annoying.
That was. I agree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah. He's got Bridgewater on his mind. I'm going to be honest with you. I know they're 6-1 and doing good, and I'm not saying he doesn't want to win, but listen, they're winning right now with Bridgewater. Of course, it's Brees' team. We know that, but I'll tell Sean I'm ready. He'll believe me. Oh, stop.
Certainly we talked about the competitive speed of it, where you look at Bridgewater has done well. They're undefeated with Bridgewater at quarterback. They're doing it obviously a lot differently, and it's all phases. I mean, special teams defense has been fantastic. They're running the ball. I mean, to go into Chicago without Kamara and Brees and win that game the way that they did is very, very impressive. You know, for Drew Brees though, He clearly knows the clock is ticking. He wants to try and get back on the field as quickly as possible. But to answer the reporter's question, I mean, you got to be medically cleared. You got to be able to make all the throws they're looking to make. I mean, there's a lot of things that he has to overcome here. But certainly Drew Brees wants to get back on the field. And what better landing spot than taking on Arizona?
Yeah, no doubt. And the thing, too, is we talked about it a lot. You know, with Drew Brees on the sideline while they've been winning these games and been undefeated with Bridgewater, you know, you could just tell he's real literally Brees chomping at the bit to get in the game, and he wants to play. I if he wasn't Drew Brees and wasn't the veteran that he is, I would think just watching him from afar that someone in that position would come in and press. They try too hard and screw up and get pulled out of the game, and Bridgewater will come in. That's not going to happen. I know that. But I'm saying if it wasn't a guy like Brees, he's very poised once he's playing. He's smart. But, him pressing, he'll still do well. I just think his whole career is trying to prove a point. Not a big guy, undersized quarterback, ultra successful, great, great, great player. And I think that he's not used to not being in there, and I think it really bothers him. And he sees someone like Bridgewater winning. I don't think he has anything against Bridgewater. I just think his competitive juices that he wants to make sure people know, hey, Teddy's been great, but this is my team.
Yeah, and Taz, he returns to a better football team.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they all, I think, as a group, got better and more confident without Drew Brees because everybody raised the level of their game. So, you know, regardless of what Brees does against Arizona, they're less reliant on Brees to be great in order to win.
It's amazing.
And that's what you want if you're Drew Brees. He doesn't have to come back and be the conquering hero. He just has to basically keep the ship from sinking because right. Everyone else has raised their level of game.
Listen, I said it before. I really think Sean Payton deserves a lot of credit, okay, because of the points you're making about Kamara, about obviously Brees, and about they're still going out there winning, and they're a very tough team to play defense against because you don't know what they can do offensively. I think their offensive coordinator, Pete Carmichael, he deserves a lot of credit too. These coaches deserve credit.
Dennis Allen.
Yeah, Dennis Allen is the D.C., they deserve a lot of credit. They've coached these guys up and coached around the issues. And that's what, in my opinion, what great coaching is. And
I agree.
And you see that here with Sean Payton and his crew.
Totally agree. And we'll see if Brees indeed does play against the Cardinals come your way Sunday. All right, here we go, the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Hi, Mike.
All right, just talking about good coaching jobs, so it got me thinking. Who's done a better coaching job this season? Is it Frank Wright out in Indianapolis or Sean Payton with New Orleans?
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm leaning on Payton for everything I just said, but my opinion. No knock on Reich, but I'm just saying, I think Payton, because of the issues. I understand Mike's question, because of Andrew Luck being Gonski and Brissett doing the stuff, but I don't know. I'm going to lean towards Payton.
You know, I'll support Reich. I think you could go either way. You know, I think Taz laid it out very, very well in terms of Sean Payton, the job that he's done, that entire staff of being undefeated, winning in a lot of different ways. I give Reich credit because that town was completely forlorn and shot when Luck, that announcement came down. And for to be able to deal with all of that, Taz, in that city, and guys trying, gals trying to put back season tickets and get refunds, and to have this team play in the way they did and deal with that kind of distraction nonsense, and have a guy like Brissett step in, who was getting all the first team reps because Luck was banged up, to step in, adjust their game plan, and win in different styles. I mean, Brissett this past week threw for over 300 yards and four touchdowns. And right. You and I mean, Taz, at the time, I mean, no one's going to, you got to pat yourself on the back. Nobody else will. You right. And I at the time, as everyone was saying, oh, the Colts should trade for Eli Manning. We kept on telling you, the Colts love Jacoby Brissett. Right. They think he can play.
Right.
They think he's the solution at the quarterback spot. They really like Jacoby Brissett. And you know what? You're not hearing any clamoring for the Colts to go get a veteran quarterback. Brissett's been just fine.
No, no doubt. And I'm a firm believer in patting yourself on the back. You have to. It's a must. No, but, yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a great question by you, Mike. I do think both coaches have done an amazing job. Yeah, it's just it's tough to do.
It's a good one. It's tough to separate either one of them. They've both done remarkable jobs this year. Yeah. All right, next.
I want my hair back.
Billy?
What would be, Billy. Let's say the Colts made the Super Bowl. Would it be more difficult for Andrew Luck to watch the Super Bowl happen or what's going on for Bryce Harper right now watching the Nationals? More difficult watch.
I would say Bryce Harper.
I agree.
Yeah. I would say Bryce Harper. I think because the thing with Luck is, you know, he stepped down. You know, he didn't want to play anymore, or he couldn't play, or whatever his reasons were. You know what I mean? Like, that's why. I'd say Bryce Harper.
Andrew Luck was tired of living in pain. Was tired of the grind, was tired of the rehab, had been mentally kind of, and Tez, I mean, you went through one injury after a lot of injuries as a wrestler.
Yep.
You know, the grind of the rehab. And he grew tired of it and didn't want to live in pain anymore. The injury wasn't getting better. It was getting worse. And he had it enough. The passion for the game is not there. The passion for Bryce Harper was to be the highest paid, get the biggest contract in MLB history and continue his playing career. I agree with you. I think it's worse for Harper. I don't know. Nats are two victories away. This is a nightmare for Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
This is a nightmare.
It is a nightmare.
No, year one after he leaves in free agency and they go win the World Series? What does that say about you?
Oh, dude. It's... No, I know.
I mean, that's a disaster. We were saying it the other day. You know, we were talking about Taz. I asked you if you could watch, right? And you said you couldn't. I said I'd have to flip it on at some point just to see what's going on. You know, at this stage, as that goes back to Washington, and you know there are going to be Nat fans wearing the Harper jersey with the thing, and you know they're going to be poking fun at Harper whenever they can.
Right.
You know, especially if they know that, you know, late in the game, it's a, you know, 5-run lead, they're about to win the World Series. You know, you'll get some of the Harper conversation. That's the last thing you want to see. This is a disaster for him.
Absolutely. No, it is a disaster. He's got, I really don't believe he watches. I really don't. I really don't think. Just good, especially this that how everybody's talking about how great they're playing and that they're 2-0 right now in this World Series and they're going to play home.
You know, if I were Harper, I'd do hop on a flight, head over to Japan, and go play Pacheco.
But you were close. I got the joke. It was funny.
Alright, so Mike and Pete, I messed up. Pacheco, there you go. Mike and Pete across the way. To Adam Fisher, join us earlier on the program. You guys as well. Download the podcast each and every day. Radio.com, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. Taz, great stuff, man.
Yes, you too, sir.
You got it. Till tomorrow, everybody. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.